What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer. And you have just stepped inside my captain's quarters, my weekly gaming update show where I talk about my favorite gaming news topic of the past week, discuss what games I've been playing, give tips on some of those games, as well as issue a weekly relevant gaming-related decree. This week, it's all about the amazing news and announcements that we've seen all week long from the amazing showcase events from Xbox to Ubisoft and so on. So let's talk about it and dive right into the episode in my news catch of the week. Gamers, the first show I got to talk about is the first one of the week, and that was the Xbox Showcase event that happened this past Sunday. Now, I got to tell you, I was super excited at going into this event because I really felt different about it than I did with previous Xbox events. I don't know, there was just something special about this one. I feel like the community was pretty excited, and the fact that we were pretty confident we were going to see Fable finally revealed in some gameplay form. It was just a lot going into this event. Starfield getting its own direct and, oh man, just the possibilities of what we could possibly see. Well, obviously, if you've seen the event, and I'm sure if you didn't watch the event, you've at least seen the trailer. The very first thing they showed off was Fable. And gamers, I gotta tell you, I am a huge fan of that series. I have loved all three games in that series. The third one, believe it or not, controversially, is my favorite out of the three. I know a lot of people thought that was their least favorite. Number two was a lot of people's favorites, but ironically, that was my least favorite out of the three. But I will say, going into this game, I have very much wanted to get back to that series. There's something unique about it. They call it the British humor, or just there's something about that world of Albion. And I have been missing it in my Xbox experience for quite a long time now, because sure, you had Fable the Journey, which is the Kinect only game, which was trash, but there's not been a true Fable sequel until now. And I gotta tell you, first things first is the graphics were just absolutely insane. I could not believe when they came in and they said this is in-game footage. It was like, what, man, this guy that is talking to me right now looks insane. And then just seeing the animations and the different, I guess what you would say is the main character you're going to play as, seeing her go through and the way she interacts and walks around. I mean, it looked amazing. The world looked gorgeous. Very, very brief snippets of what looks to be the combat style. And of course, returning spells in the same way that they were in the past. And just, I cannot wait to get my hands on this game. I do want to see more gameplay though. I actually want to see somebody holding a controller and playing the game. I get it. They said this is in-game footage. This is what it's going to look like visually. That's amazing. And this was awesome. I mean, it had the humor there. I was cracking up throughout the trailer, but I really want to see just somebody holding a controller and playing and running around Albion, because I'm assuming that at least a part of it or some way, shape, or form, it's going to be taking place in Albion, because it almost wouldn't be Fable without that. But I do know they're saying they're bringing it into the modern era, so I really don't know what to expect, to be honest with you, at this point still. But I can't wait to see more on this game. I was not disappointed. Another RPG that was shown off, finally, gameplay and all, in this event that I could not wait to see was Avowed. So Avowed by Obsidian Entertainment, best known for many RPGs in the past. Most recently, they had The Outer Worlds, they had Pentiment, and they had, in the back in the day, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Fallout New Vegas. I mean, Obsidian has done a ton of stuff, and they're very well-renowned and respected and regarded in that RPG scene. So when they first announced Avowed as an Xbox Series X exclusive, and just the brief announcement trailer they showed off a while ago, it looked very much like Skyrim, which I'm perfectly okay with. I love Elder Scrolls, and God knows we're only going to be waiting another 10 more years before we get the next Elder Scrolls. So this looks like it could take the place of that, at least in my mind, for me, based on this newest trailer, because seeing the in-engine and the in-game reveal of what the gameplay is going to look like, the combat, some I would say, Obsidian-type humor in here as well, given the guy that's kind of talking to you, almost looks like an amphibian humanoid that's talking to you the whole time and kind of monologuing the trailer. In general, the world looks beautiful. The creatures look great. The virus or the sickness that's overtaking the different animals and whatnot in the land. And that bear that it showed with like these mushroom looking things coming out of it. And the detail and the animations of those wiggling. And Oh man, I cannot wait to play this game. It looks like it's going to be a cross between using gunplay and sorcery and melee with swords. So it looks like it's got a little bit of everything, and I can't wait to see more about this game. Now, the next game that I'll talk about is a game called South of Midnight, and we didn't get any kind of in-game or anything like that. It was in-engine, but it looked very, I won't say cel-shaded, but it was a very different, unique kind of art style to it, and I really liked it. And essentially, we have this skeleton who's playing a guitar on the dock in like a swamp in the bayou is what I was getting out of it. And he's singing this song, and this woman walks up, or floats. You see her feet kind of float and land on the ground. And then she walks up to the guy, and she's basically, it looks like she's trying to hunt out a bounty, because she pulls out a picture of a monster, shows it to the guy, asks him, come on, I know you know where it is. And the whole time the monster is kind of creeping up behind her, and that's kind of it. But it's very intriguing. It's got me very interested. I don't even really know what kind of game this is going to be, or it's supposed to be, but I just know that the name is pretty cool, South of Midnight. The setting, I love the setting of the Louisiana Bayou and the swamps and just what you could do with that, with the mysticism and ghosts and spirits and stuff. So I cannot wait to see more on this game, as well as this next game, Clockwork Revolution. Gamers, I'm a massive fan of the BioShock series, three of my favorite games of all time, and I have been waiting with bated breath for this BioShock 4, and we have not seen anything on it yet. I don't know when that's going to happen, but man, Clockwork Revolution looks to be able to satiate that desire, at least for me, for the time being, because visually and just musically, like that old-timey kind of music playing, the visuals of what this city looks like and kind of the steampunk design of the city and the characters and the enemy types and I don't know, the main character, it looks like she is able to, obviously she uses guns, it shows that, a little bit of gunplay in there. There's different abilities, like it looks like the ability to rewind time, because at one point she destroys with an explosive a wall to take it down and kill the enemy, but then immediately throws kind of an orb-looking thing, which rebuilds the environment she just destroyed. There's all kinds of cool looking stuff, and she can change the past to affect the future, and just it shows kind of flashes back and forth, the trailer does, between the city and different ways that it can be changed and how it looks differently and things like that. So I don't know, just bottom line, visually, gameplay wise, looks like BioShock to me, and anything like that, I am there for to at least try out. So it looks really, really cool. I can't wait to see more on it. Hellblade 2, we finally got some more details on it, although extremely scarce. It was a new, I guess, situation scene that we saw, and obviously it really played heavily into Senua's the voices that she hears in her head, and that was a huge part of the first game, and one thing that I loved about it, but it was never really seen so far in the preview of this game. So to see that and to kind of see how Senua deals with that and what's kind of going on there and kind of sets us up for a synopsis of what we may be able to expect in the story. But outside of that, there was really no actual gameplay of her just kind of walking around in an environment. And that I would have liked to have seen that. Plus, I was kind of disappointed in a way, even though there's so much coming out this fall already, I was still kind of disappointed to see that the game is coming out in 2024 now. You know, it didn't even say a release window or a release date. It just said 2024. So it's like, man, this game was debuted with the debut of the Series X at the Game Awards back in 2019. And here we are almost 4 years later, and it's still not going to be out by that four-year period in December of this year. So it's like, wow, what is going on, Ninja Theory? You know, the developer of the game. I don't know. Hopefully everything's good. I mean, it looks good, sounds good. So, and the voice actress of Senua and facial model and all that, she was introduced in the trailer and said that, you know, they had just wrapped, you know, doing all the recordings and things like that. So maybe it is sooner than later in 2024, like maybe spring of 24, but time will tell. Now, Capcom showed off and announced and debuted a new trailer for a new game called Path of the Goddess. Thought it looked pretty cool. It wasn't one that I was freaking out over or going nuts about, but I will say the gameplay-wise, visually-wise, it reminded me of something along the lines of maybe Devil May Cry, Onimusha, as far as the combo system and the kind of the hack and slash and the just the way the combat looked and the world and the enemies within the world, if that makes sense, that visual style. So that looked pretty cool. I will say I can't not mention Yakuza Infinite Wealth, or should I say Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, as the Yakuza series, if you didn't know, has been renamed going forward as Like a Dragon. So we had Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, the official first trailer for the game. And as much as I love the Yakuza series, I've never beaten a game. I've played Yakuza Kiwami and Yakuza Like a Dragon. I have not beaten either one of them, but I love the games. Like, I recognize enough that those games are great. I would love to be able to get actually at least through one of them. And at this point, I really would like to do Like a Dragon, because it started a whole brand new character arc and storyline and everything. And this is the continuation of that in Infinite Wealth. And it was a hysterical trailer. I mean, I just absolutely loved the trailer. Ichiban, the main character from the first game, he shows back up and he's naked on a beach. And it just, it was pretty funny. So can't wait to see more on that as well. But the final game I want to talk about that they had there that really got me excited, gamers, you know me, I love horror. I love horror games, and Still Wakes the Deep is the name of this last game I want to talk about, and it just looked amazing. It looked terrifying. It didn't have any monologue or any kind of explanation whatsoever, but it looks like you are, I don't know if you're a worker or if you, somehow you're out on this oil rig in the middle of the ocean, and it looks like you're by yourself, isolated, and there's something out there. There's something probably supernatural or something that has been undisturbed in the ocean for millennia, you know, probably some kind of story beat like that. I don't know. I'm speculating right now, but it looks like that's probably the gist of what we can expect from it. And with a name like Still Wakes the Deep, oh man, I was just all in for it. I can't wait to see more on that and see exactly what we can expect from it. The last piece of info from that Xbox press conference, though, that I'll mention is the fact that they brought out a new series model, a Series S model that's going to cost you $350 if you were interested. It's an extra $50 of the normal Series S because it's going to be coming with a 1 terabyte SSD internal. So it's still digital only. And it's still just an S, but for an extra $50, you get a carbon black paint job and you get the double the internal SSD space. So nothing really crazy to go excited about, for at least for me, because I'd rather they just cut the S line altogether, to be honest with you. Focus on the Series X line, and that way allow developers to maximize the potential of these next gen games. But overall, I would say that my thoughts for the Xbox press conference this year were just through the roof positive. I thought they did an amazing job. Every game that they showed off, except for just a few, I was absolutely ecstatic to see more about. And I couldn't get enough of what I was seeing in the trailers that were shown off. I thought they had a lot of great original announcements. I mean, games that we had never even heard of that were shown off at the show. They had a massive presence for themselves, Xbox Game Studios. Out of the 25 games that were shown off in this event, 11 of those games are Xbox Game Studios first party games. So I think that's a huge win for Xbox. This showcase in general was a huge win for them. I think they really needed a win for a while. And this was a huge positive direction for them, in my opinion. They just can't screw it up. They got to keep it going, and they got to nail the launch of Starfield. Starfield looked amazing in that Starfield Direct and in the story trailer shown off at the showcase event, but it's all about how it launches and how people receive it come September 6th. So hopefully that goes through extremely well for them. I can't wait for that game either. So I'm crossing my fingers for myself as well, but only time will tell. Now let's go talk about my thoughts on the Ubisoft Forward event. Gamers, for years now, Ubisoft has been one of my favorite publishers and developers in all of video games. Some of my favorite franchises come from them, between Assassin's Creed and Far Cry and Splinter Cell. Just a lot of really good stuff usually comes out of Ubisoft. So I always get excited when Ubisoft does its own event. They usually have some pretty cool announcements. So I was pretty excited for this one. There was a lot of things I was looking forward to. The announcements that we didn't get that I was looking forward to, I'll talk about all of those from all the shows at the end of the episode in my Captain's Decree segment. But for what was shown off, I'm going to start with Star Wars Outlaws. And I know, it debuted first at the Xbox Showcase, but at that showcase and with that cinematic trailer, which is all it was just a cinematic trailer, at the very end of it, it said that there was going to be a live gameplay walkthrough the next day at the Ubisoft Forward event. So I figured, you know what, I'm going to cover that and Outlaws in its entirety in my Ubisoft segment. The cinematic trailer had me very, very excited to begin with. As soon as I saw it, I was like, man, this looks awesome. This has the potential to be a really cool game. I just have come off of completing Jedi Survivor, and I would love to still stay in that universe, that galaxy far, far away. And this is a very different type of experience, though. And that's one thing that I am looking forward to about it. So once we got to see the gameplay walkthrough, it's about a 10-minute walkthrough at the Ubisoft Forward event, and it kind of confirmed that for me. This is definitely not Jedi Survivor with, you know, a different character and whatnot. This is definitely its own game. And the reason I say that, one thing is the combat. So you look at the combat in both, and Jedi Survivor is all focused around the Force abilities and the lightsaber combat. Well, Outlaws is all about your blaster, melee combat, stealth approaches, utilizing this really cool looking creature that I think its name is Nyx, is what it sounded like she was calling it as she was exploring with Nyx. You can actually use Nyx to interact with objects in the environment, distract enemies, attack enemies. There's all kinds of different things that you can use Nyx for, and I'm sure there's even more that we don't know about yet, but it looked awesome. I mean, in the walkthrough, they had the main character walking through with Nyx, and there's just this a massive amount, kind of like a hangar of stuff going on, and there's enemies around, and it shows her sneak up and hide behind a crate, and then she can command Nyx to go press this button to move a crate that's being held with like a claw, a machine claw. She then jumps onto the crate and is moved over to a different location. Bottom line is there's what looks to be takedowns and stealth attacks and things like that, but the gunplay looks like it's a lot of fun as well. She did get caught, and as the player was going through, there's just a big firefight that opens up, and man, I thought it looked pretty solid. Now, they do have on there the disclaimer that this is a work in progress, so I did feel like it was a little stuttery at times, but overall, it looked like it was going to be a really fun experience, alternating between different blaster types, different ammo types. So there was a lot going on, and at a certain point, there's just enemies after enemies after enemies coming. And so eventually, basically, the main character just runs to a speeder bike that happens to be nearby. And then this really cool pursuit happens. And it's this speeder bike chase between her and a couple of Pike Syndicate members that are chasing you down. And there's a cool slow-mo segment where she's time slows down and you can kind of aim at the different enemies. And she takes them out with her blaster and eventually makes it back to her ship, of which you can pilot yourself, which I thought was awesome. That is one thing about Jedi Survivor. I think it will have a leg up over Outlaws over Jedi Survivor, that is the fact that you can actually control your ship in this game, whereas in Jedi Survivor, it's all cutscene related and transitional loading screens and things like that. So to be able to then jump off a speeder bike, run into your ship, hop into the cockpit, and then fly out of the atmosphere of the planet you're in. And there is actually an option. It didn't show the character go into it, but I did see on the screen there was an option to go into a star map. And you can probably obviously choose different planets to use your hyperdrive to get to real quick, or just different things, different places you can go in the area that you're in. So I can't even imagine yet how big this galaxy is, or at least section of the galaxy that you're going to be able to explore. Don't know if it's going to be as massive as over 1,000 planets like Starfield is, but you never know. Regardless, it was just really cool to see that transition from ground to speeder bike to ship to outer space and breaking through that atmosphere of the planet and then choosing where to go. And then dogfighting in space. Yet again, here we go. We're getting a lot of that in these upcoming games between just obviously right now Starfield and Outlaws. But just thinking about the possibilities of what technology allows us to do nowadays, I feel like over a decade ago, these are things we only dreamed or discussed about on forums and amongst each other as far as gamers. So I'm very excited to see where this goes. And everything looks really solid already at this point in development, even though it is a work in progress. Overall, I would say graphically, just gameplay-wise, it looks fun. I will say, like, the main character and the creature, Nyx, it looks like basically this is their version of Cal Kestis in BD1. And that's not a discredit to Outlaws. I'm actually really excited for that. I think that they recognize the developer. I think that they recognize there's something special about having that little companion with you. Like, BD1 with Cal was just a perfect complement to each other. And so they're trying to emulate that in this game. So I'm very excited about that. Then once you get to a certain hideout, there was also a scene where she got to the hideout actually before she took off into outer space. Being able to see the different interactions with NPCs and dialogue options that you can, you know, have different outcomes depending on how you wanted to handle certain situations with bribery or whether you're trying to be coy with somebody or smart with your response, things like that. So it seemed really cool because you're an outlaw, obviously, and you are doing things that are basically technically illegal in the galaxy. But I don't know. It looks like a lot of fun. So I cannot wait to see more on this game. I can't wait to find out when it comes out. Obviously, all they said was 2024. Again, it looked pretty decently far along in development. So I'm hoping that means we get it in the first half of 24 instead of later in the year. Because, oh man, I am, even though I just finished Jedi Survivor, I am ready to jump right back into Star Wars. And the next game that I wanted to discuss from the event is also another licensed property. This one is based on Avatar, and the game is called Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Now, obviously, this was already announced well before this event, and we had seen a snippet before of what we could expect the in-engine to look like, at least. But this was the first glimpse of what it would probably really be looking like to play this game, and I've seen a lot of comparisons online, and they're adequate, as basically Far Cry for animal lovers or Avatar. So it does look a lot like that as far as the worlds are concerned and the first person viewpoint. And I don't know, just in general, it looks like a gorgeous game graphically. And I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun, especially flying on the back of Banshees around the world and being able to explore all these different really cool locations that are in the movies. So I'm not a massive, massive Avatar fan, but I did enjoy the first movie. I still need to watch that second movie. It looked pretty cool, but the game is more interesting to me, to be honest with you, than the second movie. And I will have to keep an eye on it. It does come out this year, December 7th, which was kind of surprising. I didn't expect that release date to be dropped like that. But it is something I'll definitely keep an eye on, depending on how far along I am with the insane amount of games that are supposed to come out this fall, October specifically. I'm looking at you. I don't know if I'll be able to get to it right when it comes out, but, you know, I'll keep an eye on it, see what happens. Now, next up, after Avatar Frontiers of Pandora in December and January on the 18th, we got a release date for Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown. And that was also shown in a new gameplay trailer at this event. And in general, I mean, I'm actually pretty excited for this game. Look, it's not the Prince of Persia game that I want. I want a brand new 3D, full-on, next-gen, current-gen, whatever you want to call it, Prince of Persia game. Not even necessarily the remake of the original game. I'd even go for a whole brand new, just original game. But I want something in that vein for Prince of Persia. But I get that Prince of Persia started out as a 2D side-scroller, so it doesn't really bother me too much in that sense. Not to mention seeing the stuff that you can do within the game, and the action just looks so fluid and quick and fast and fun. The platforming, I mean, it's a 2D game, but it's 3D graphics. So it's kind of like that new Sonic that was just showing off as well, where it's the 2D Sonic, but it's 3D graphics. There's something about that 3D graphics in a 2D space. It just looks really cool to me. And again, just the combat and the platforming and in general, the fluidity of the gameplay of that new Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, just looks really, really cool. So again, it's another one that I'll keep an eye on because I don't know exactly where I'm going to be at that point. But I got to tell you, this next game I want to talk about comes out October 12th, and that is something that I will not just be keeping an eye on. I will be very deep into the streets of Baghdad in Assassin's Creed Mirage. So, obviously, if you listen to this show, you know, as I've already stated earlier, I am a massive Assassin's Creed fan. It's arguably my favorite gaming franchise. I just love everything about it. The history, the stories that are unique to the series themselves, the characters, the worlds, the gameplay. I absolutely froth at the mouth with this series. So, when it comes to Mirage, at first, I'll admit, I was a little kind of, you know, it's kind of cool, but I don't know. When it was mentioned that it was Bassem, who's a character introduced in Valhalla. But over time, it was like, you know what? Nah, man, I'm actually excited for this game. And then we finally here recently started to get some gameplay reveals. Well, the one that was at the Ubisoft Forward event was the best so far, gamers. I mean, you actually got to watch somebody playing the game. And that was what I had been waiting for. And I was not disappointed. I thought graphically, first off, the game is gorgeous. Running on Xbox Series X in 4K, which is how they did the demo. Oh, man. The sunsets and the way that the lighting plays on the city of Baghdad just looked amazing. And in general, the big thing about this trailer at the event was to kind of show off the fact that, hey, we're bringing back some of the classic moves in parkour from the series. Like the, hey, let's go around the corner swinging on a hanging pot, or just the different other platforming options that you've been able to have in past games are making many returns. So I can't wait to link them all together, because that's one of the fun things about the Assassin's Creed series, in my opinion, is being able to link all these abilities together and have just one fluid run across the cityscape. And gamers, let me just say that this city just looks absolutely massive. The end of the trailer kind of pans back, and you can kind of see somewhat of an overhead shot of the city, at least from a certain angle. Oh man, it just looks absolutely massive. And I know a lot of people are like, man, it's not an open world, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't think you have to worry about putting time in, because the density of this city, which is what Ubisoft has always been maintaining they're going for with this game and with Baghdad, is set to be insane. Not to mention, you do still have the desert areas around Baghdad that you'll still have access to and be able to explore to some extent. So overall, I mean, the combat looks insanely insane and fun. In addition to some of the new objects that you'll be able to use, like tools like the blow dart, which is very similar to what we've had in past games, but they showed and highlighted the blow dart and different. There was an explosive poisonous gas type item that looked really cool, the way they lured the one guard into it and exploded and killed them. And there's just a lot of really good stuff that I can't wait to jump into. The way you pick up targets and side quests and things like that, it kind of almost like a help wanted board, if you will. You know, you think about Witcher 3, or at least I do, that's where I first go to in my head, and every little village you go to has a help wanted board, and you go up to it, and that's how you get monster slaying quests or just different side quests that you want to pick up and do if you'd like to. And that looks to be similar, something similar to that here in Mirage. So I'm just very excited to really get into it and kind of lose myself to it. And Assassin's Creed Mirage is not the only Assassin's Creed game they showed. They actually showed off three different games. The one that is Nexus, which is the MetaQuest 2 and MetaQuest Pro compatible game, actually looks really cool. It showed in the trailer that you're going to be able to play as three different former assassins, Cassandra and Connor and Ezio. So definitely looked really cool. I can only imagine how it would feel to do the parkour and some of the cool fighting and different things you do in the games from a 3D perspective. So that definitely sounds pretty awesome. But the other one that I was more interested in was Codename Jade. And, you know, I was disappointed last year at the Assassin's Creed Showcase to find out that China was the setting for the mobile-only game. But I will say that trailer then, and then this trailer this week, was very impressive to me to see what the graphics look like and the gameplay. It's a full-on RPG Assassin's Creed title. So I'm actually pretty excited to play this. I got to keep an eye on it for when it actually releases. They didn't give a release date yet. They just said that the beta is coming soon and you can sign up for early access. But I am actually very intrigued to see where this game goes, and will have to probably end up getting it to play on my breaks at work or something. But regardless, that was the highlights for me from the Ubisoft event. The final segment here that I want to talk about this past week, Capcom, and discuss what my highlights were from there. As we look ahead to what Capcom had to offer this past week, I'll just start off by saying this. I really felt like Capcom just didn't really show off a whole lot, at least that I was interested in, to be honest with you. So I only have a few things that I want to touch on. One is the only of the three games here that I haven't touched on in the past in some form. And what I mean is, first off, I'll just say Path of the Goddess, which is a game I mentioned earlier in the Xbox conference and how they had shown that off or debuted that. I still think that it looks really cool, and they kind of added more to what we saw at the Xbox event. So Path of the Goddess still looking pretty cool for me at the end of the day. Dragon's Dogma 2. This is another one that we have seen before. We saw it debut at the PlayStation Showcase event. I had talked about it in my episode discussing that event as well. And man, I really, really am excited for this game. Again, I did not play that first game, but hearing the developers speak to what this game is all about and the fact that it's a single-player, story-driven experience, I thought that was very important to kind of reiterate that or to make sure to clarify that for people. But I thought it was kind of funny too. He was saying that, hey, but the AI is so good that the partners that you have with you are like playing co-op with other real people. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But another interesting part that I picked up on from the video they showed off on this Capcom Showcase event was the fact that there are different partners that you can have in your group or your party that are actually creations of other players. So I don't know the whole breadth of detail when it comes to that gameplay aspect, but it definitely sounded very interesting to me. Like, oh, okay, cool. So I could technically create my own partners, if you will, to put out there in the world, and other people could decide to recruit them. I thought that actually, if I understood that correctly, it's what it sounded like. And that actually sounds pretty cool to me. So Dragon's Dogma 2, can't wait to see if I actually get a chance to play this game, because man, there is just so many games coming out. But the final game that they showed off, it was actually one of my favorite trailers, period, of all this entire week, believe it or not, just because of how funny it is. And it was surprising. So Pragmata is a game that Capcom debuted at PlayStation's Showcase event last year. And it looked really cool. It looked like this very near future apocalyptic kind of setting. And it was almost like an astronaut looking guy with this young girl. And this young girl apparently has some kind of special powers or something. And there's just, it looked very interesting. But it was at that time just a very quick cinematic kind of trailer introducing the game. And here we are with this newest trailer. And it starts off with that girl and she's drawing a picture. And all around her, that spacesuit wearing character is fending off enemies and shooting them and kind of yelling at the girl, like, what are you doing? Like, come on, we can't be sitting here. And eventually he ends up taking care of the enemies, grabbing up the girl and running off. And as he's running away with her, the drawing that she was doing, the paper kind of floats in the air and lands on the ground. And when the camera pans down to it, it says, it basically is apologizing, very, very sorry. And the game is delayed until question marks. So it's been indefinitely delayed. There's no specific time frame for the game's release at this point. But I did think that was just pretty funny to me. So again, doesn't really bother me at this point because I have a lot to play. We have a lot to play, gamers. There's a ton of options out there. So take your time, Capcom. Make it right. And as time permits, we will be able to probably, I'm sure, enjoy a great experience from this game when it does, in fact, release. So that was my thoughts on Capcom and the specific games that kind of stood out to me at their event. And in general, the entirety of this past week, those are the events, those are the games that I was most interested in. Now, let's go open up my captain's log and see what games I've been playing this past week. Gamers, this past week I played quite a few different games and they each were pretty individually different from the other. So it was a wide range of genres and types of games and I can't wait to discuss them with you. And the first thing I want to really talk about is the Lies of P demo. Now, if you don't know what this is, Lies of P, it was actually debuted last year and it was touted as a Souls-like game and you play as Pinocchio. And I know what you're thinking, like, wait a minute, what? Play as Pinocchio in a Souls-like game? Yes, it is a steampunk-inspired adaptation of the original story of Pinocchio, and it's a lot more violent and bloody than you had remembered the Disney movie to be. I'll put it to you that way. Let's just say it looked really cool. The video gameplay that I had seen for it forever ago, I thought looked really enticing, and I definitely was wanting to keep my eyes on it, especially because I knew it was going to be a Game Pass day one release. I was like, well, at least I can try it out this way and see if I like it or not. Well, guess what? The developer beat me to that in releasing this demo this past week, along with a new gameplay trailer that they showed off at Summer of Gaming. And man, I got to tell you, I played it on the Xbox. First off, because it is available also on PS5 as well. Bottom line, I loved it. I just got to say right now, graphically, the game is phenomenal. Man, it was absolutely gorgeous game. The character model of Pinocchio, the detail and the enemy types, the world itself. Oh man, I was just absolutely in love with it. And it's honestly, it's kind of an empty world, at least where I played at. It was this train station that you start out in, and it was a lot of, I mean, granted, it was filled with a lot of dead bodies and a lot of things going on around it, but there wasn't a whole lot of hustle and bustle, which is fine, just kind of like Pinocchio and the enemies. Well, I really enjoyed what they had on offer here, and I am very much confirmed that I will definitely be playing this game, more of it as I am able to, once it releases in September. Now, I know that's a crazy month to try to do that in, because Starfield comes out at the beginning of the month, and then we already know how we feel about October with 1,000 games coming out in October. So I may play it when it first comes out, but then it'll sit there for a while until maybe next year in the early parts of the year before another onslaught comes. Maybe I can check it out. But the combat is great. One thing I love about it, the lock-on for the enemies is great, and it's very tight, and that's one thing that's very important to me in these kind of games is to have that enemy lock-on. So that is awesome. And then just in general, combat is basic with a light attack, a heavy attack, and dodge, and block. All these different options are there. So first off, to say that you have a block option, that's a big deal, because some Souls-like games don't even allow you to block or even to dodge. So to have this option and have both of these options is very much appreciative on my part. But the biggest thing for me that stood out that I really liked was the healing aspects of the gameplay and the way that it works. So you start out and you have, I'll just say, like this vial, if you will. And the vial, at least in the demo, starts out with two uses. And it's not even like one of those things where it's two potions and you use them and that's it. You just have to find them in the world. At least in the demo, the way that it works, say I used both of them, which I did, but I used both of them. Well, you can fill back up that vial by landing attacks on enemies. And you can, you know, level it or fill it back up to however many max amount of slots you have. So either way, I thought that was actually awesome, because that means you should be constantly, I would assume at least, refilling your health vial as you're playing through the game. So I really like that. So in general, I loved the Lies of P demo, the visuals of it, the gameplay was real good, and just the world and everything is intriguing to me. There were some notes that were left behind that you could read, and just, I really want to lose myself to this world is really how I felt walking away from it. So awesome job with the demo. Now, as we move into a different kind of game that I played from Lies of P, I want to give you my first impressions on Diablo 4. Gamers, let me just first start out by saying I have not played a Diablo game since Diablo 2 on the PC forever and a day ago. I can't tell you how many years it's been. And even an isometric top-down RPG, I have not played that kind of style of RPG in forever. I did try out Pillars of Eternity back in, I would say, 2019 or so. It came on Game Pass, and back then I was like, you know what? I haven't played an isometric top-down action RPG in a while. Let me check this out. And I did like it, but I didn't stick with it. Well, Diablo's different. Diablo, for me at least, is one of those like really popular, fun franchises that I was like, you know what? I never really got into this. I want to get into it now, and I want to get back to that style of gameplay, because I loved that style of gameplay with Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 1 and 2 on the PS2 era. There was other games across time that came out. Summoner was one that was a PS2 launch game. Bottom line, I have loved this type of game or genre in the past, so I really wanted to give Diablo 4 a shot, and I thought it could be a lot of fun. So let me just say that I probably have dropped close to 8 hours into this game so far. And I am very impressed. I am very into it. And during that time frame, I was first able to start off by creating my character. So I created my character. I went with the character class of Barbarian, because ultimately for me, it boiled down to Barbarian or Rogue. And Rogue, the main reason I really wanted to go that route was because of having long-range weapon options like the bow and arrow. Well, looking at the description, it kind of just, oh, well, Rogue is also about setting traps and using stealth. And look, don't get me wrong, most games, stealth is my first option in most everything I play, if it is an option. But in this style of game, I just didn't really see me wanting to set traps and be stealthy. This is what I, for me at least, the best way to enjoy this is the hack and slash aspect of it, just going through, just ripping fools apart. So therefore, the Barbarian stood out to me the most. And don't get me wrong, Necromancer had me kind of raise my eyebrow, because it's a class that's a newer class for this game, and just raising armies of the dead and having them follow you around sounds really, really cool. But ultimately, again, the Barbarian class won out. So far, I'm very happy with the character class and my choice. I have loved the story so far. It's been very interesting. The wandering traveler in the snowstorm who stumbles into a village that just unfortunately happens to be worshiping Lilith. And if you didn't know, Lilith is the main antagonist of this game. She's basically the creator of sin on Earth. And she is back on Earth to claim her world, basically, and all the souls of those who live there in this place called Sanctuary. And Sanctuary is the setting of the game, and it's this vast, massive map of a world. And I mean, let me just say that first off, the graphics in the world, I mean, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous game. And that's one thing that always stood out to me in the previews and the gameplay walkthroughs that I had seen is, man, the environments in this game just looked awesome. And the character models, when you are able to zoom in, because you can zoom in, you don't have to keep the camera all the time at the very top isometric position. Not to mention, there are times where automatically during cutscenes or certain conversations you have with NPCs, where the camera will automatically zoom in for you, and you have that closer look at things going on. But in general, I thought the combat was great. I have constantly, I love the loot system. That's so addictive in this game, like being able to run around and the loot that enemies drop, smashing barrels and crates and picking up that loot, all the chests that are spread throughout, all the stuff you can do in the game. I mean, the enemies, what I love about this type of game is most enemies that you come across are not going to be crazy hard. Yes, there are certain areas of this map or continent where you get to further out areas from the starting point of the game. Of course, they're going to get a little bit harder. But for the most part, I mean, they're manageable. And so that's what I've appreciated about it. And I got to the first main city, I should say. And that was a lot of fun, walking around, talking to villagers, seeing what the story is with them, picking up side quests, going into the blacksmith and learning the systems of how I can repair items or how I can trade in items and upgrade my gear and things like that. And then finally getting to a point where I could travel out into the further reaches of the area and perform even more side quests that are picked up on the outside and do these different areas that are called cellars, that as you go throughout the world, there's random cellars that are out there you can go into. And they're usually like very tiny, short dungeons that you can just go through a wave or two of enemies, and there's some extra special loot inside, which was pretty cool. But the one that really got me was there is a pretty decent sized dungeon that I got into, and I got all the way to the end, and man, the boss was a den mother, a werewolf den mother. Whew, I got her to probably about the last quarter of her health bar, and I just kept dying over and over and over and over. And no matter how many times I went back to the blacksmith and repaired my gear and warped back, you know, because you can use portals to travel, fast travel here and there between certain points that you've unlocked so far in the game, man, I just couldn't do it. So I was like, you know what? I'm a level 11 right now. I'm going to come back to her when I'm a level 15, because I feel like a few more levels and I shouldn't have too much of a problem with her. But I just absolutely have loved this game, my time with it. I wish I was able to give more focal time to it, but right now I'm kind of in between games, having finished up Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and then next week, obviously, is when Final Fantasy 16 comes out, and then all bets are off, because that's going to be my 100% focal game. I'm not saying I won't take a detour here or there, but Final Fantasy 16 will definitely prioritize my time. But man, Diablo 4, wow. On the other side of the spectrum of RPG subgenres, such an awesome experience. If you're questionable on it, or if you haven't played Diablo in a while, or ever played Diablo, I would definitely say give it a shot, as I thoroughly enjoyed my time with it, and hopefully will continue to play it some more and share with you my experience with it. Now, as we move into the next game that I played, it's honestly almost a blast from the past, from about 3 months ago, because it's been that long since I played the game, and that is Sonic Frontiers. Gamers, every time I go back to Sonic Frontiers, I am reminded every time, almost immediately, how much I love this game. It's a game that genuinely brings a smile to my face every time I'm sitting there playing it. And I was able to put in about 3 hours this past week. And during that time frame, if you remember, I was on Ares Island, which is the second island that you go to in the game. And it was this desert kind of island, and just kind of going around doing all the different kind of side quests that you can come across and collecting cocoa, which are the little tiny rock guys that you can find and then trade in for stat upgrades. And just in general, all the different challenges that you come across as you're going through the worlds. Here are the open zones, as Sega likes to call them, or Sonic Team, I should say. Well, it was at a point in the game where last I left off that when I loaded it up this time, I literally was right there at the end of the story of Ares Island. So I did do a few more challenges on the way to get to Knuckles, because if you had followed me all this time, the last time I talked about Sonic Frontiers, you'd know that each island has a main friend character of Sonic's that you're trying to basically rescue from being half trapped in cyberspace and half trapped in the real world. So this island, the friend was Knuckles. So I am on the, or was on the last portion of freeing him, if you will. And so I did some challenges, like I said, kind of mopping up what I was doing in the areas that I had not been to. And ultimately, I did do the final portion that I needed to for the story, which unlocked access to this cave. And Knuckles was like, all right, you know, I'll see you on the other side. Let's see who can, you know, race and win. So obviously, you know, you go through that, and it was a really cool sequence to get through the cave. Well, on the other side of the cave is the boss fight for the island against that island's Titan. Each island has a Titan, and that is the final boss of the island before you can move on to the next one. So this one, this Titan was the Wyvern. And, whew, man, let me tell you, it was an epic boss fight. I said in my Instagram post that I posted a video clip that I made of, there's the Titan bosses that I've had so far in Sonic Frontiers. Each one starts out with like this epic lead up. You have to figure out how to get up to the Titan, and then you actually go into the fisticuffs, the fight. Well, that was no different here, and it was just an epic, I mean, just upside down, twirly whirly in the air, like way up in the air, doing all kinds of craziness. It was just awesome just to get to the fighting portion. And then the fighting portion was pretty epic too, kind of an on the rails, like, hey, you got to dodge all these missiles that are coming at you and ultimately time attacks correctly and things like that. But it was just an epic boss fight. And I just got to say, just like I said in the Instagram post, there's nobody does epic boss fights better than Sonic Frontiers. I mean, that was just awesome. So I had defeated the Wyvern and made it to the third island, which I literally, I mean, the cutscene happens where Sonic crashes onto the island, and I kind of walked around for literally 5 minutes maybe and saved it and turned it off, and that's where I stopped. But this third island looks to be kind of like a set of islands in the sky, and it's kind of like this rocky, ashy, volcanic looking set of islands, because there literally is a volcano in the distance with smoke coming up out of it, lava that you see, and it looks like there's multiple ones, and it just genuinely looks like you're elevated and you're up in the sky. So be interesting to see when I go back to it if that is in fact actually what's happening or not. But man, I thoroughly enjoyed my time with Sonic Frontiers this past week. Very different game coming up next that I want to talk to you about, gamers, and that's the final game that I played this past week, and that game is Amnesia: The Bunker. Gamers, as I sit here right now talking to you, I can honestly tell you that I would never have expected to say some of the things that I'm about to say to you about Amnesia: The Bunker. Now, that's a very positive thing. Let me just say I got a lot of positive things to say about this game. I have played Amnesia, the original game, on the collection that came out years ago on the Xbox. I never beat it. Didn't play a whole lot into it. Amnesia Rebirth. I did not play it when it originally came out on PS4, but it more recently came out on Game Pass on the Xbox. Played a few hours into it. I've even talked about it on the show, and I actually really enjoyed what I played, but I never stuck with it. Well, Amnesia The Bunker came out, and it sounded interesting to me, the premise, so I decided, you know what? I'm going to check this out. It's on Game Pass. I really like the other one, so I'm gonna see what I think of this. And let me just say, gamers, it completely grabbed me by the throat. So the premise of Amnesia: The Bunker is this. It is set during World War I, and you play as a French soldier in the war. And without going into too many story details, let's just say that you are trapped in this bunker underground, and it's extremely dark. And you're alone and isolated, and you don't remember how you got there, what happened, or how to get out of there. So, add insult to injury, the power in this bunker is fuel generated, or fuel powered by a generator, I should say. And part of the gameplay is to keep that generator fueled, to keep power on as long as you can, and keep track of that time with a stopwatch. And you know why you want to keep the power on, gamers? Well, there is a creature who doesn't really like the light. And granted, he will come out in the light, but he is less likely to, or come out less frequently when the generator and is turned on and the lights are on. So you got to kind of moderate the usage of the fuel. And this creature travels between the walls and in the ceiling. And there are different holes that he pops out of at certain points, and or will just come out of and start walking around an area that you're near in. And let me just tell you, the sounds that he makes when he's running through walls and all the sounds, it's terrifying, especially if you're playing this with a headset. I played it with a headset and a soundbar. It's still terrifying with a soundbar. But let me just tell you, the headset, oh my God. I can't tell you, first couple hours I was playing this game, I was genuinely terrified, but loving every second of it because I love horror. I love being scared. So it was just a lot of fun for me. But let me just say, as you're going through, it's all about puzzle solving and learning the environment, kind of memorizing in your own head, at least for me, the layout of the bunker itself and remembering where certain things are and finding certain special items that you need in order to access further into the bunker. Like, say, get a pair of bolt cutters so that you can cut through chains that are blocking access to certain doors, or even a wrench so that you can unscrew the screws on either corner of a ventilation shaft so you can access a room that you couldn't previously access. Different weapons you can find as well. Shotguns, you start out with a handgun, and this is by no means a first-person shooter. There is only the creature. But the thing is, the creature is just like the alien in Alien Isolation, and this game emulates that gameplay style very, very much so. And the fact that you cannot kill the creature. You can stun the creature. You can scare the creature away with things like gas and grenades and the handgun and things like that, fire. But you cannot kill the creature. So you have to utilize all these things to try to stay alive and to stay out of the way of the creature and to find different collectibles like notes and dog tags and all kinds of stuff to try to figure out what was going on as well. And at the same time, you're kind of remembering and gaining back your memory, you know, hence the whole amnesia title and things like that. But bottom line is, I have loved this game. I have put probably now, I want to say, about 9 hours into it. And honestly, I could have beaten the game about 2 hours ago because I have the final things that I need to make the exit. But I have chosen not to because I've loved it that much and I wanted to get everything in the game. So there's still a few notes that I have left to get, a few things that I want to do achievement-wise, but I just absolutely love my time in this game. And that leads me to my highlight of the week. Gamers, this past week, I played a lot of different variety of games, and I had a lot of fun in everything that I played, but obviously I can only choose one highlight of the past week. And I'm going to give that highlight to Amnesia the Bunker, and just in general, the game, because I had no idea, no plan on focusing on this game and actually playing it through to the end at this point in time. And I think that's a testament to how easily this game gripped me and how awesome I felt that it was. I just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the experience, the setting of the bunker, the time frame of World War I, the creature and the gameplay aspects that reminded me of Alien Isolation, a game I previously loved years ago. I mean, just all the elements kind of fell together and it was perfect timing. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to play anything else right now but this game. So just losing myself to Amnesia the Bunker this past week, it just was easily the highlight above all else. And I can't say enough about Frictional Games and just what they're still trying to find and do differently with the Amnesia series after all these years. So I just think that's awesome. So Amnesia the Bunker, again, you got to play it if you haven't, if you love that kind of style of game. So that's my highlight of the week. Now let's open up a chest of buried treasure gaming tips I have for you in Amnesia the Bunker. Going with the theme of the episode, apparently, with Amnesia the Bunker taking the spotlight, I couldn't help but feel like, you know what? I gotta give some tips for this game. And what stood out to me as something that was very much necessary when it comes to tips, at least for me and the experience that I had, and helping you guys out and save some time if you do decide to play this game, if you have the same issue that I did, There's an area of the bunker called the tunnels. And you'll know what I'm talking about when you get there. It's a very foggy area. It's very hard to see when you get into these tunnels. And it's hard to kind of figure out where to go and what to do and once you are done with the area, because the game is very much one of those games where there is a clear sense of forward progression in the map. So you always feel like and can kind of understand and realize the pushing forward of the exploration. When it comes to the tunnels, that was not necessarily as evident for me, and I think it mostly had to do with the fact that everything was completely shrouded in fog. So it's very hard to kind of see where you're going and what exactly the details are of the environment that you're in. And again, to know that, oh, okay, well, I guess it is time to leave and figure out a way back to the bunker. So in order to do that, once you've explored everything, there's going to be an area where you see the first area you drop into is going to be on kind of like a ledge, and you drop into this last set of rooms and hallways. And you'll know what I'm talking about when you get there. So you want to find your way back to that ledge that you drop from. And nearby that ledge is going to be some crates. And you can actually move those crates over to the ledge to then jump onto the crates, jump onto the ledge, and make your way backwards through the tunnels you had previously come through. So it took me forever to figure out that, oh, okay, one, I'm done exploring in here. And two, this is what I got to do. And again, it's just, it makes it disorienting when you have the entire area shrouded in fog. So wanted to help you guys out and hopefully save you some time and some frustration in exploring and exiting the tunnels and Amnesia, the bunker. So that's my tips this week. Now let's go check out this week's Captain's Decree. Gamers, with all the events that we had this past week and all the announcements that were just absolutely amazing and phenomenal, and I cannot wait to get my hands on all the games that I talked about earlier in the episode. Well, as exciting and amazing as all these things were, there were still going to be some games that obviously were just not going to be announced. I have compiled a list of 2 games from each event for a total of 6 games that were not announced or shown off that I really was hoping that we would have seen. And so first off, I'm going to go in the same order that I covered the events at the beginning of the show. Looking at the Xbox event, the one game that I honestly really wanted to see more than any game was Indiana Jones by Machine Games. So developer Machine Games has been working on this game for at least a couple years because they showed it off and teased it in a cinematic trailer 2 years ago, and we haven't seen or heard anything since. And I really thought that with the timing of this event and the connection and very close proximity to the release of the new Indiana Jones movie, I really thought that we were going to get that, finally get that gameplay trailer and kind of like at least a release window, some kind of update, anything. We did not. So I was very disappointed to not see anything from Indiana Jones. When it comes to the second announcement, it was what would be another first party exclusive for Xbox. I really, really, really want to see Gears 6. And I really thought this was going to be the moment again. I felt really confident about these 2 games and was actually kind of surprised and shocked that we didn't get either one. Gear 6, it's been, 4 years this September, I think, since Gears 5 came out. So that's a decent chunk of time to go by with not even a mention of the next game in the series. And just seeing where and knowing where the story that kind of started in Gears 4, to know where it left off at the end of 5 and to have no continuation from that yet after 4 years. It's just like, oh my God, man, like, come on, Microsoft, come on. Like, where are we at with Gear 6? So I was really disappointed. Even if it was just a teaser, just to be like, yep, we're working on it. Don't worry. It'll be out next year. Something like that. I don't know. Just anything. I would have loved to see something on Gear 6. Now, when it comes to the Ubisoft Forward event, the 2 games that I was most looking forward to that we didn't see, the first one is going to be the Splinter Cell remake or reboot, however you want to look at it, I mean, it's kind of what I would consider one and the same. I know it's a remake of the original and they're modernizing it and kind of changing some things story-wise to correlate better to modern day and all these different things. I get it. But it's also, I feel like, Ubisoft's attempt at rebooting the franchise for a new generation. Because, I mean, the last Splinter Cell we got was Blacklist, and that came out way back in the day. At this point, just about a decade ago, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say it came out in August of 2013. Because I'm pretty sure it came out the months before the Xbox One and PS4 launched. So we are approaching a decade since the last new Splinter Cell game. And the fact that this was already confirmed to exist and be in a work in progress, I really was hoping that we'd see it at the event. Unfortunately, we did not. Now, the second game that I was hoping to see, even just a tease, that's really all I was kind of expecting, was Far Cry 7. And I get it. I'm not even anywhere near scratching the surface of Far Cry 6. But as I've stated before in previous episodes, it's one of my favorite series. And I really just, a big thing for me is always finding out what the next location is going to be for a Far Cry game. So me and Logan Phoenix from the Graveyard Gamer podcast, a great gaming podcast on Spotify and many other podcast platforms. Check him out. If you like my show, you'll like his, I promise. But we were talking about it, and there came a rumor about the fact that there may be the Alaskan wilderness as the next setting, and it was like, man, that would be amazing. So just to kind of, I really wanted to know what that next setting was. But Far Cry 7, the tease, and Splinter Cell, those are my two from Ubisoft. And finally, from Capcom's event, I know this is kind of probably reaching here, but I wanted to see at least a tease for Resident Evil 9. I get it. Resident Evil 4 just came out. It's why I kind of am going to lump the Code Veronica remake announcement together with a tease of Resident Evil 9 because they just released a remake. But I wanted something from Resident Evil and they didn't have anything because I figured, well, it's been a couple months now since the release of 4, the remake. Hopefully they can have something for us. But they did not have anything Resident Evil related. So that was disappointing. But even bigger than that, the big one that I really wanted to see, and if you've listened to this show before, you know that I've been wanting this, very much looking forward to the announcement or confirmation that this is an actuality, a Dino Crisis remake. I get it. They probably don't want to cannibalize by having two dinosaur-themed games in the same show because Exoprimal, for whatever reason, is the game they decided to go with over a Dino Crisis remake. But I really, really was hoping to see that because, you know, I get not putting out another Resident Evil remake announcement or even Resident Evil 9 right now, but a Dino Crisis remake, I feel like, would have gone a long way. Like, close out the show with a quick teaser of the fact that it's coming or it's in the progress. Even something along the lines of what Metal Gear Solid and Konami did with the Snake Eater remake. Just something. That would have been awesome. But we did not get it. So it is what it is. I have to practice what I preach and take my own advice from my previous week's episode of, you know, check ourselves when it comes to gamer hype. But at the end of the day, I still thoroughly enjoyed these events this past week. There was a ton of great stuff announced. And just, honestly, hundreds of reasons to stay excited to be a gamer. That'll do it for this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer. You can join its crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com. You can also search for Hulking Yoda on the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch networks. You can find me on social media on Instagram at Lost at Sea Gaming and on Twitter at Lost at Sea, GAMIN1. Thank you for listening, and until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.